Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, Bar Down Breakdown, episode 202, and tonight we're joined by our homies 30 is Dead.
How's it going?
Listening to What's their up? Single, Don't Probe Me, Bro. Real quick, just want to get it out there. I'm kind of torturing myself having two Canes fans on the podcast, literally as we are down 2-0.
I can't wait till we get into some of that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was like, you know what? Let's get someone from North Carolina on the podcast.
Yeah.
Not even like really thinking about where the Islanders are right now.
And, hey, you almost had us last night, man. You almost had us.
That was a close one last night.
Yeah. We'll get into last night. But I guess let's just start with our formalities. 30 is Dead is a punk band out of the High Point Triad region of North Carolina. They are playing Bar Down Breakfest 2, day 2. I'm very excited to have them play the festival. I guess just tell us right off the bat, how did you link up with Christian and Seneca Burns and kind of the relationship you have there to have you guys on the fest?
Let's see. We played with them. It was at the Den in Winston-Salem. When was that, Brian? Last year?
Was that last year?
Every year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's been about a year, actually. It was at the Den in Winston-Salem. We played with them, just started talking. And then we went to see them play a show that we weren't playing, and we started talking to Christian. He's like, hey, I got this, this thing I'm working on. It's like a year out. You guys want to get on? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. That's pretty much all there was.
Okay.
And yeah, we really liked their music and, cool guys too. And they liked our music. So we kind of meshed together pretty good. So
actually Christian's other band, Home for the Day, played with me and Brian's other band, False Awakening, back in it was 2017 or 18 or something, several years, good bit ago. So that was kind of neat too.
It's funny because I guess when Christian reached out to you, that was before I reached out to Christian and kind of merged our two projects together. So you guys being the hockey fans, when you probably found out that you were going to be playing this hockey themed pop punk festival, you probably yep, this is even better.
Yeah. Now. I was like, dude, this awesome. Is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what the best part about all of this is that Bar Down Breakfest is on their Spotify. You can go right there, click on their Spotify, go to shows, click on it, buy your tickets for the fest. I'm really excited, guys.
Yeah, we're pumped for it. We're really
two
excited.
Months away.
Do I need to bring my hockey stick?
Hockey a little, I haven't been down to the Milestone in a while, not since they sort of redid a lot of it there. I remember when the bathroom had the floor and it was all slanted. That's the one we saw. It was a post rock band, If These Trees Could Talk, pre-COVID or something. That was the last time I've been down there.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of I've never been there, so this is gonna be a whole experience for me.
It's super cool. It's really cool inside there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, I've only been there once myself, and I only went recently for a Seneca Burns show, but I guess pre-COVID, like the outdoor space was a lot smaller, and there was like a actual building on one of the structures out there, and they knocked that down, which now the patio area is a lot bigger, which is going to make it easier for us to have a second stage out there. So it's going to be just an awesome weekend. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. When we went down there several years ago, yeah, the outside part, I can't remember what was there, but it was not set up for anything. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for this because I think they've got like two stages going. And I mean, that sounds like a pretty awesome setup.
Yeah, and 24 bands. It's going to be a party for sure.
How many did we have last year? 15?
No, just 12.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys do 2 days or you just do 1 day?
We just did one day last year. Two venues, 1 day. So we're doubling it this year and adding another day.
That's awesome.
Yep. Should be a good time. Now, you mentioned that you guys met Christian and Seneca Burns at the Den. And I actually just recently went to a show at the Den. And holy crap, is that such a sweet spot.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that is such a hidden gem.
Yeah.
I truly, like, any touring band that is listening right now and wants to hit, like, North Carolina, definitely, it like, consider the Den. Because it is just, like I said, a hidden gem. It was a beautiful night. It was like 70 degrees. They had like the twinkle lights going.
Oh, yeah.
In the background. It was awesome. And the show I caught was another, you know, triad band with Come Clean. And,
oh, yeah. Know those guys.
And they're not, I think they're a little further. Maybe they're Greensboro. Yeah. That band Charm. They're so awesome, those dudes. And then our friends down in Florida played it too. It was just a great night. So. Love that place. Can't say enough great things about the Den.
Yeah, Tony is just a super cool dude. We're actually playing the Den this weekend, and we're doing this kind of neat thing. It's kind of a Bojangles theme, so they came out with the Hard Sweet Teas and us and another band. You know what? We should play a show at the Den, get a bunch of fried chicken, and drink a bunch of those teas and just make it a whole party. So that's going to be fun.
And you guys are doing the Bojangles shirts too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we got some shirts with our name kind of in the Bojangles style. So that's going to be cool.
It's going to be like the punk, like Riff Raff. I don't know if you guys know the hip hop artist Riff Raff.
Yeah. 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 Definitely see that. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
He used to just throw like chicken out into the audience, like at one point. And it was like when he used to play like these small, like 200 cap shows, he would literally just like a box of Popeyes, because we don't really have Bojangles in Florida. And he would just throw them out into the audience. And people would like eat it. And I'd be like, oh, that's gross.
Dude, Kev, instead of playing your drums with drumsticks, play with drumsticks.
Oh, the drumsticks. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have so much food there. Like everybody, like all the bands are bringing like chicken and stuff. Joe and Drew went to the little Walmart grocery store, bought all of the Bojangles sweet teas. So I don't know how many we got, but it's a bunch. So I'm not sure what sort of crazy stuff's going to happen, but it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a party. It's funny. Rob from Come Clean put out a meme trying to talk trash about the Islanders. And it was like, moves from New York, heads to Cary, hates Bojangles.
I don't know if that's an Islanders meme or more of a Mikey meme.
Probably it could both. Be a Rangers thing too, man. Like,
no, it's too specific Rangers for a Rangers thing.
Game and yeah,
yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I've been vegetarian for a very long time, but Bojangles is kind of trash. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, it was not good when I had it.
No, have you had the Hard Sweet Tea though?
Well, I also don't drink anymore, so haven't had that either. Yeah. So.
Have you had the regular non-hard sweet tea?
There you go. Yeah, the actual sweet tea.
Well, that's another thing. Like, I'm from New York. Like, sweet tea is not really our thing. It doesn't do anything for me. But I guess let's get back on topic. So 30 is dead. we mentioned a triad North Carolina band. Let's just kind of jump into the formation and how you guys all linked up.
Go for it, Brian.
Yeah, that's a good question. So me and Kevin have been playing music together since like sixth grade, seventh grade, whatever year that was. And we've been in the same band for a couple different bands now. And then at the same time, we also knew Chris and Joe from our high school, and they were in other bands throughout the years doing their thing. So we all got a lot of shows under our belt, and it just kind of culminated like, well, it was the end of 2019, and you know, me and Kevin's band kind of slowed down. Joe's other band was slowing down. We all knew each other from playing shows and school and stuff. So we said, hey, let's just start an old school punk band. We all grew up listening to the same type of stuff in school. Let's just get together and just play music for fun, like how it should be, instead of being all, you know, competitive and trying to one-up each other. We just wanted to have fun and play some like good tunes and see where it goes. And that's kind of where we're at now.
I think that was probably, it's like end of 2019, right before COVID is kind of when 30 is Dead kind of got kind of put together.
Nice. Okay. It seems like a lot of bands that we've talked to, that's kind of what happened, right? We were stuck at home for so long. It's like, man, let's jam. Let's create some tunes together, you know, while we're stuck at home. And it's cool because a lot of great music has come from that. And it was definitely a dark and negative time in this country and throughout the world, but you know, there's some silver lining that did come from it. And yeah, music absolutely is one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So we were kind of talking about it, but like before we started recording the podcast, but you guys have kind of been at least linked genre-wise to something that you would hear off of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtracks. And I think it's always like a weird question that I always like to ask as we go through, but I would already kind of know what your answer is going to be. But, you know, given that that's kind of like what you guys are likened to, what would you guys rather be on, the Tony Hawk soundtrack or the NHL soundtrack?
Ooh, that's pretty good right there.
That's a good question.
Oh, man. I think if we put that to a vote to the band, I mean, some of us might say NHL soundtrack because that's pretty cool. But I know, I mean, me and Brian and Chris are the main hockey fans.
Yeah.
Joe would probably say Tony Hawk.
I'd probably say Tony Hawk too, just because.
You know, Tony Hawk.
Yeah, the NHL soundtrack would probably be a wider variety. So we might stick out more there. But yeah,
you would fit in more on the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, now you're kind of aging yourself. Like you guys must be kind of young, because the NHL soundtracks, the last maybe 10 years or so have kind of been genre mixing and kind of, you know, more hip hop and like EDM and kind of that kind of stuff. But when I was playing the NHL, and I was, you know, really discovering this music, you would have like the deepest cut punk songs and like pop punk songs that most people like discovered alternative music because of those soundtracks.
Right. Yeah. And I had bought, I think it was a year or two ago, I bought NHL 20 or NHL 21 for Xbox. I can't see it. And after playing that game for a couple of weeks, I actually had to turn the music off and just use like the ambient music, because I was like, I can't listen to this music while I'm playing NHL. I mean, no offense to the guys who make the game or whatever, but yeah.
the last one though, like, I'm not gonna lie, I haven't bought a video game in almost probably 10 years, but you know, I always check out the soundtrack when it's released, and it seems like the current one, like the most current NHL soundtrack, I guess 22 or 23 or whatever, however they do it, that one seemed pretty solid. Like it seemed like they were getting back to their roots a little bit, but starting in like 2002, those soundtracks were like you know, you mentioned how you're huge Sum 41 fans. Like, that's how a lot of people discovered Sum 41. Like, yes, then they started getting huge and like being on TRL and like that kind of stuff. But a lot of people discovered Sum 41 from those NHL soundtracks.
Yeah. And on that kind of same note, another anecdote I wanted to mention was kind of the mixture of music and hockey was, I forget if I went to a game years ago or just heard it on TV, but during the timeouts or in between play, all of a sudden I heard a Demon Borgir song. And I'm like, wait a second. You don't get black metal playing at MLB or NBA. So I'm like, NHL, they've got something going on here, and I like this.
I saw it on TV. It was a Penguins game. It's funny I remember that because I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, what? You're playing that in an arena?
Like one of the heaviest bands on the planet, and they're playing it in the arena. And I was like, okay, it's cool.
Well, it's I think it really just depends on the barn, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does depend on the barn because the New Jersey Devils, and I just put it up on our story not too long ago, had this like super heavy hardcore band play their intermission. And I wasn't familiar with them. And Justin, do you remember the name of the band? Because
Bill was the one that posted it because he was the goalkeeper's photographer.
Yeah, so Ocean of Illusion is this like hardcore band from Jersey. They played the intermission, and there's just like this huge pit that breaks out.
I saw the clip. Like,
this is the coolest thing ever, where you would never see that for any other professional sport ever. Yeah. And it really is why this podcast is, you know, 202 episodes deep, because there's a huge crossover between alternative music and hockey, and some teams have caught on. There's probably only like 10 teams that have really realized this, and I wish that the Islanders would. I've emailed like high up people and just like told them like, hey, stop playing these generic songs when the Long Island music history, especially in alternative music, is so important for a lot of people. Like, start playing Long Island bands during the games. And because they want to do what a lot of the teams do, like play like the lit song, you know, the Can We Forget About, and then like they stop it and then have like the crowd sing the rest. Like they try to do the Blink 182 one that Colorado does. And it's like, why are you doing with what other teams do? Throw a Taking Back Sunday song on. Everybody in that arena will know that, because that's where Taking Back Sunday came from. Well,
yeah,
I know a little bit of North Carolina as well, but
you got one of them.
You got one of them.
Yeah,
one out of five.
Like, show a little love to Long Island. I wish the Islanders would do some cool stuff like that. We just, I guess, got to wait till
that clip was crazy too, man. I saw it and a little shot of the crowd, some guys like moshing and stuff. I was like, okay, all right, let's do it, man. Let's do it.
New Jersey hardcore right there. Oh, I looked it up. It was the Pittsburgh Penguins played Demu Borgir.
Yep.
That's what it was. And I was trying to find out. I was like, what team would have Norwegian black metal playing?
Yeah.
And there's only two Norwegian players in the entire NHL, and none of them play on the Penguins. So I don't know why the Penguins played it, but we'll go with it.
How did you research and Google that? That's you're a pro over there, Justin. Because I can't even think of any other, like, I guess Matt Zuccarello, and then who's the second Norwegian player in the NHL?
I'll let you know right now. I have it up.
And now you're going to butcher that name. I can't wait.
I might be pretty good at
you're Scandinavian?
My weird Norwegian Scandinavian. I think Zuccarello is actually the only hockey player right now in the NHL.
Yeah. That would
like
be
actually playing in the NHL.
I know most of the Finnish ones have found their way to the Hurricanes somehow.
Oh, no.
That's what it feels like.
old Christian Tolofsson. Tolofsson.
Okay. What team is he on?
I don't know, dude.
You just made that
name
up.
You see how hard I struggle to get the name right?
Touche.
You think I looked at what name, what team he was on? Oh, he's not even in the NHL anymore.
Yeah, Norway's not producing that many studs in the NHL.
No, they're not like the Swedes or the Finns.
No. But I guess, you know, kind of since we have, I guess, just naturally led to some hockey talk, I'm just curious, being in the Triad area, were you guys too young to watch the first, like, 2 years of the Canes when they played in Greensboro?
I remember when they came here, but I didn't get to go to any of the games there. But I do remember there's a pretty big buzz around here about it. And then in the 2000s, when, you know, they were pretty good, that, you know, I think that's really when there started to be a lot of hype around it. And then I remember actually, Brian was with me. I think we were at like the beach when in 2006, the Stanley Cup, I remember watching it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. A lot of good memories growing up too. Was our neighborhood friends always played street hockey. I didn't go to the Hurricanes when they were here, but we had like a minor league Monarchs team. So that was fun. And yeah, I definitely remember watching games at the beach, playoffs. So a lot of good memories.
Okay. So I guess were your parents hockey fans as well, or was this like their first introduction to hockey and they were like, all right, well, we got this team now, I guess let's give this a shot?
I mean, for me growing up, I grew up watching college basketball and playing tennis.
Yeah.
You know, hockey wasn't my like number one sport, regrettably, you know, when I was young. I mean, we played the games and played a lot of street hockey, like I mentioned. But until recently, some years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, I went to a Chicago Blackhawks game in Chicago while I was in town, and they were in last place in their division. And so let's just go. It was packed. It was sold out. And I was like, okay, they're like, there's something about hockey like that I'm missing here. Like, this is awesome because the devoted fans are still there, and it was great. So,
yeah, let's see. I grew up, I mostly played baseball. But my dad he's from the Midwest. He's from Wisconsin. He didn't play much hockey, but, you know, there's, you know, up there, hockey's, you know, it's going to have a little bit of your blood no matter what. And so, you know, I'd see, you know, we'd see some games on TV. Oh, let's check out. Hey, Hurricanes are on TV. Let's check it out. That's kind of what got it going. And then, like I said, those years through, you know, the 2000s there when they were good, I think that's kind of what got me hooked. But it wasn't really until recently, until I started like really going to games, that I just got completely pulled in, because I don't know, just the experience of going to a hockey game was just so much better than other sports. It's just, I mean, compared to say going to like a Panthers game, for example, you know, the tickets were cheaper, just the parking, the entire situation was better. Just, I don't know, the fans were more into the game, you know, not as many casuals, or, you know, some people at Panther games, I mean, they're just getting completely hammered. They don't really care about the game at all. And I mean, you know, I like to have, you know, drink and have fun too, but, you know, I want to watch the game. I want to enjoy the game. But the hockey fans seemed a little more engaged, a little more serious about the game. Yeah. But started going to games and just really having a good time. And, I was on a pretty big win streak. Every Hurricanes game I went to, they won. And I can't remember how many in a row it was. It was 7 or 8 or so. And the last one I went to, they lost. They played the Rangers. It was right after the All-Star break. That's the first one I've been to that the Hurricanes didn't win. But
yeah, all those
luck charm. So I gotta get to another playoff game this year for sure.
All those other games must have been against the Islanders, because the Islanders literally can never win at PNC. Since I moved here in 2015, like, they've lost probably 75% or 80% of the games. It's brutal.
We saw them play the Oilers in November. That was a crazy game. That's when we actually splurged and got seats close to the glass, and they beat the Oilers. It was like 7-2 or something. And even with that blowout, I will say it was still amazing to see Connor McDavid in person, like flying right by you. That was still unreal. And he still did get a goal in garbage time. But, yeah, the Canes were just destroying him that night. That was an awesome game.
Nice.
I think that's like my favorite thing about just what was going on during 2004 to 2006 in hockey was just Lightning win, blackout, comes back, Hurricanes beat one of the greatest teams in the fucking NHL, beating the Oilers for the Stanley Cup, and you have two of these teams from they're not hockey towns, they're not known for hockey towns, just winning the Stanley Cup back-to-back. It was like one of the greatest things I had ever seen when I was like going through high school, and I laughed so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Raleigh's sort of like, I mean, yeah, we're in the South. It's obviously, it's a smaller market than like New York or, someplace like
yeah.
that. Like Raleigh's just, it really has become like a hockey spot now. Like those, I mean, when they talk about the stadium being loud and stuff, like it's legit. I was it was game 5 against the Rangers last year. I mean, that place was rocking. Like it was loud in there. But it's a great home crowd there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they were the first Carolina team to actually win a national championship too.
Yes.
Like professional sports team. Yeah. Cause I know Duke's won almost every championship period, but yeah, like they were the first team to actually win a championship. And I don't think the Panthers have ever won it.
No, they've been in the Super Bowl.
They've been to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Patriots. I remember that one.
Yep. And they Broncos.
Yeah, but it blows my mind because, you would think that usually after a team goes and has, they didn't have like the most successful playoffs. I think they were like one of three teams to lose 9 games in the playoffs and they still managed to win the Stanley Cup. But it's funny to see how more people will be more in tune to college basketball than they would like professional hockey in that instance, just because UNC and Duke pretty much take over all of North Carolina during January through March.
Yeah, that's very true. Brian's a huge Carolina fan. Huge. Yeah. The rest of us in the band, we have other sports. Like I watch a lot of football. I'm actually a Green Bay fan. But hockey and football are kind of my two sports, but Brian is a huge Carolina basketball fan.
Yeah, yeah, almost to a fault. But it's fun. We enjoy it. So,
how much money did you lose this March Madness?
I didn't lose any money. I don't.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I don't sports bet. I gamble, but not on sports.
All right, now here's a quick word from our sponsor.
That was a great segue, huh?
It's NBA playoffs time. That means big hoops action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with a touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in free bets if their team wins. Plus, everyone can score a no-sweat same-game parlay even every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook opt-in and place a same-game parlay on any NBA team. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet up to $10. So download the DraftKings app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. Okay. And I guess let's talk some more 30 is Dead, because when I first saw your band name on the flyer, being 36 years old, I had to ask myself, like, am I technically considered dead at this point? is that kind of the reference, just calling out us old dudes in the scene?
Yeah, I'd say it's part of that. We were talking about names, and originally it became a song name. We actually thought about 30's Not Dead, but we're like, nah, let's just own it. Let's just say we're dead and just own it. Brian's the oldest guy in the band, by the way. Gotta put him on blast right here. Even though he's only, I think, 6 months older than me, but
yeah,
you know, he's technically the oldest. What do you turn 36? When is it, July?
36 or 37. I was thinking that, I seriously forget. So
that's total BS. That's total BS. You don't have the stress lines to be 36.
Well, I mean, my wife calls me out on, like, I've got like 4 gray hairs or something. So she calls me out on that. So
it's good for the age.
Yeah. But yeah, like Kevin was saying, like, we're kind of joking. It's kind of joking about ourselves a little bit. Like, hey, we're trying to play this young punk rock like we grew up listening to, but we got day jobs, you know, and we're trying to do this. So it's a little bit tongue in cheek, but we're having fun with it.
Yeah, it sounds like out of time, right?
Yeah, honestly, that sounds 100% like us.
Yeah,
except I'm younger than Brian up here. I'm only 35.
We're still all old. We're old as hell. What do you mean?
We do a lot of like just kind of fun little, I don't want to say comedy stuff, but you know, we throw some humor and stuff into a lot of what we do. We've got a music video actually for the song 30's Not Dead that's about to come out, and actually Seneca Burns is in a scene of it, but that's got a lot of fun stuff about that. There's basically a competition for the greatest band, but it's kind of like a track and field almost type thing, and our band is trying to cheat to win all the events, but we keep losing over and over. So there's a lot of funny little scenes in there. I can't remember.
Haven't you guys learned anything from the Canes?
What's
cheaters
that?
Never.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what
happened
to us.
I hate that chant so much. Like that and the dude that blows the horn are two things. Yes. Yeah. I found out his name's like Mean Gene or something like that. He's like the guy that just blows the Let's Go Canes at every game. Yeah. And he struggles, man. He can't do it anymore. He can't blow the horn for the chants.
They gotta get Mean Gene Jr. Like, in there.
Yeah, they gotta get him training too, man. He's got no windpipes.
He's some cardio, baby.
Yeah. But yeah, back to your music video. Sorry, I just wanted to.
Oh no, you're good.
Throw
some
shade at the
Canes.
That's
what happens whenever though. Cheaters never win because we lose horribly, and who wins it? I think All My Circuits, who are also on the festival.
Nice. Uh-huh.
I think they end up winning it, but it's funny.
Okay. It's pretty funny how you're able to get like all these different kind of like North Carolina bands in on the music video. It's really cool just to see that kind of camaraderie in the scene, because you don't necessarily see it as much anymore, or you only see it within like certain scenes. But like even like in like some of the larger scenes where we've had like a lot of like these bands come out like 10 years ago, for instance, and have this like huge camaraderie with each other. You don't really see it as much anymore, but it's really cool when you see like these smaller scenes like North Carolina, like you guys, you know, even though you're in the Triangle area and you're not necessarily like right next to Charlotte, like you still have all these bands come out to be able to support. And it's cool to see that camaraderie come out in like these different kind of like sectors where you don't necessarily think punk music's coming out of.
It's a big thing around here. It's cool to be a part of, because kind of what Brian mentioned earlier, in a couple of our older bands, we played a lot of metal, and it seemed like a lot of shows, like it was a lot of competition. It seemed like everybody was trying to like outdo each other. But a lot of the stuff now with the punk scene, I mean, everybody seems to be really good friends. And yeah, we've got bands in Charlotte, bands in Chapel Hill and Raleigh, and a lot around here, High Point, Greensboro, Winston. And, you know, everybody seems to know each other. And, you know, we do these shows. And one of the bands playing with us Saturday, a Winston band called Hey Revolver, they were part of the reason we did the Bojangles theme. They were like, hey, let's do something fun with this, you know, these sweet teas coming out. Let's do a show and, you know, put like this, you know, put like a fun spin on it. But yeah, there's a lot of bands around here that are just, you know, they work together, and it really, it makes it cool. And Tony and the Den is a huge part of that. Like, mm-hmm. that spot's such a big part of the scene around here, especially because COVID knocked out so many venues. You know, there was just not a ton of places to play. So for him to like get the den rolling was just a huge part of the music scene here.
Nice. And just because, you know, you guys said that you're part of the music scene and, you know, you're really big into metal, I always like to ask this because I asked the guys in Idle Threat this too. What are some of your favorite like North Carolina metal bands?
Obvious one is Between the Buried and Me.
Okay.
Those guys are, they are legends around here. They actually just got announced that they're going to be playing on the First in Flight Fest this year, which is kind of a little thing. They just started the last year where a lot of older bands or a lot of more reunion bands that are coming back and playing. But yeah, those guys are just, I mean, they're incredible. I mean, they're easily my number one. I'll ask Brian here. Is that your number one also?
That was the first name that came to mind. Yeah.
Those guys, I mean, they're just amazing.
There's only so many. There's only like, honestly, there's probably only like five correct answers. Between the Buried and Me, Glass Casket.
Yes.
He is Legend. Mm-hmm. Shit. Beloved. Prayer for Cleansing. Advent. I'm going with metal. I love Beloved, but they're more like post-hardcore. I'm going to go with Advent instead of Beloved just because it's the same band almost. Yeah, that's five. There you go.
Actually, I'm gonna add one more to your list that is kind of new to me. Aether Realm. You know them? They're out of Greenville, North Carolina, and I saw them last year with Unleash the Archers, like their first post-COVID tour. Those guys are amazing. Definitely check them out.
Glasscast is also doing that same festival too, which is going to be sick.
Well, I mean,
first show they played in, I mean, who knows how long.
Year, so. Basically 1/5 of Between the Buried and Me.
Right, yep.
I'm pretty sure, like, one of the dudes from Between the Buried and Me, like, owns a coffee shop in Uptown Charlotte now, and like, a coffee breakfast joint, and all the breakfast sandwiches are, like, band-inspired. So, like,
oh, that's cool.
They have, like, a Finer Things breakfast sandwich that's like a State Champs reference, and like they have this spicy breakfast sandwich that's called like the Alexis on Fire or something like that. Like it's pretty sweet.
Is it Night Flyer?
No, it's in Uptown. I've been to it once, but that was kind of like the word on the street because I was so like curious like why this place had such sweet names for all their sandwiches, and someone told me like one of the dudes from Between the Buried and Me is involved in it.
That's cool.
I'm going to check that out.
Well, yeah. Now I'm going to go there when we play Charlotte next week.
Hopefully it's still there. Cause like, that's the problem with Charlotte. It's so trendy that like restaurants and things like come and go so quick here.
Yeah. Parliament Coffee Roasters is what it's called. It was Paul Wagner's.
Oh, okay. Guitars. Yep.
He didn't have a custom model back in the day. Now he does. Mm-hmm. But I specifically went out and I found the exact guitar that, not the exact guitar, but the exact model that he used on Alaska. Bought it, set it up exactly how he had it for Alaska, and then realized how much I hated playing on a Floyd Rose guitar and sold it.
Can you do all the sweeps?
I used to be able to. I can't do it anymore. I used to be able to play Selkies really good, but I was
That's one.
Can't do this anymore.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I started to
learn White Walls, and
I learned White Walls on bass.
Yeah, you got further than I did. I'm like, God, this is hard.
Yeah, I learned the whole thing, and most of Viridian.
That's right. That's right. You can do the Viridian little bass solo thing.
Yeah.
There's a really good band on YouTube called Pangea. I think it's Pangea, and they probably do one of the best covers of All Bodies I've ever heard. And I was laughing because I was listening to a YouTube AMA with Paul Wagner, and someone said, "Hey Paul, have you ever checked this band out?" And they sent it to him, and he goes, "No, but now I know the video I need to watch whenever we're going to put All Bodies back into the set because I need to relearn how to play that song." That's how good they were playing, is that Paul Wagner was like, "I got to watch this video to figure out how to play my own song."
That's cool.
Now, I'm definitely not the hardcore guy on the podcast, but back in the day, Between the Buried and Me did this unreal cover of Colorblind. Have you ever even heard that? Because it was like a deep cut on this weird comp that
I think if I've heard that or not.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Awesome. So it was like this awesome Counting Crows tribute album that came out probably 2004 or 2005. And they did that cover and it was unreal. Like, so good. You would never think that they were like a hardcore band.
I know they did. They did it was their own cover album, and they covered like a whole bunch of songs. It was the Anatomy of.
Yeah.
Is I think what the album was, but I don't remember. I would have remembered a Counting Crows cover on that album because I have the Record Store
Day. No, it's not their album. Like,
it's separate just one
song on. So it's like the Rocket Summer has a song on there. Bayside has a song, As Tall as Lions, and it's called Dead and Dreaming.
Is the name of the comp. I gotta listen to this now.
Yeah. I'm gonna look that up.
It's hard to find. Like, I actually tried to find it on Spotify and I couldn't even find that cover.
I was about to ask. I was like, is it on Spotify?
Well, no. That was like I was laughing with Tom about this one. I have the vinyl for the Glamour Kills tour where it was all these bands covering each other. So it was like a Loss for Words covering Story So Far, Transit covering Polar Bear Club, The Wonder Years covering Into It Over It. And you cannot find that song, those albums on Spotify, Bandcamp. You got to find some bootleg YouTube video that has like five views to listen to these songs on the internet.
Crazy.
Parliament Espresso and Coffee Bar is closed.
Oh,
really?
Man. Yep.
See, I told you, man. Charlotte's tough. It's really tough to make it.
I'm really sad about that now.
But I guess, you know, we've been chatting for 40 minutes already. Holy cow. So, you know, we have kind of touched on the Hurricanes and the Islanders series. But, you know, I'm sure you guys are feeling great sitting 2-0 right now. What are your initial thoughts on the series so far?
I'm thinking, when I initially looked at the series, you know, I did think the Hurricanes would have the edge. I figured the Islanders with Sorokin would steal a game at some point. And I thought that game could have been last night. When it had the three unanswered goals, I was like, man, maybe this is a game that they steal and really make it a series. But losing in overtime like that, that's a backbreaker. Because I felt like the Hurricanes, I felt like we got out of rhythm and the Islanders kind of took over there with those goals. And I don't know, we clawed back into it. All I see on social media is the no call on that slashing.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to hate me for this, but I dropped some comments in there and I was like, the Islanders wouldn't have scored on the power play anyway.
We wouldn't have, but like,
that's
I'm a realist there. Like, that's definitely accurate. We wouldn't have scored in the power play, but we probably would have held our own 5-on-5, you know,
and
maybe squeaked one out. But that's kind of playoff hockey, and I'm not really gonna sit here and say that like the game was decided because of that one no call. However, like, for a team to get 6 power plays and the other team to get 0 power plays, just like,
it's unusual.
It's unusual and kind of like questionable. Like, you know, there's definitely, you know, some NHL refs that are a little biased, I think. And the Islanders always seem to get the shaft, but,
even with that, those points you just made, like, it was still a really close game, even with all of the puck luck that we had with the one bounced in and
with the other Sebastian Aho.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was still
close. How many times are they going to talk about that? Like, it's like, God, I forget what series. I think it was a couple of years ago when we were playing Boston and what's his name is from Long Island. Why can't I think of his name? Well, anyway, like, one of the dudes on Boston was from Long Island, and they talked about that like four times a game, and they're doing the same thing. Yeah. Or we got Aho versus Aho. Yeah. Like, our Aho is a scrub. Like, I hate to say it. Like, they're not even in the same, like, hemisphere. Like, they're totally different. Like, our Aho is only in the lineup because we have some injuries. Like, let's be real. He's yeah. a bum. So,
going up to New York this weekend, I think will be tough because these two games were close. And we got Teravainen, what, he break his hand. So he's out for the rest of the series at least. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I mean, we're up 2-0, which feels great. But, you know, I think.
They've been close games.
Yeah.
Will this series still be going on when this episode drops? Who knows? Tune in to find out.
Good point. Yeah. I don't have my sports almanac in front of me, so I can't really see into the future. But, you know, it does feel different than the last time when you guys swept us. I think it was also a little bit different because you guys stole those two games in New York first and then went home to win the last two.
Yeah.
And I was at that game four, and that is why I refused to go to game one and game two. Like, that was brutal as a fan. Like, people get it in my wife's face, and like, she's like a very casual Islander fan. I'm like, all right, you're like 50 years old. You need to chill out. Like, this is a hockey game. Like, yeah. I'm not talking any shit. Like, there's no reason why you're all up in my wife's face. Like, this is, it was brutal. And for the longest time, like, I started to like hate the Canes more than the Rangers. And coming from an Islander, I was like, this is, you know, slowly becoming a rivalry, and a little bad blood there. But like I said, if this series feels a little different with, yeah, we're down 0-2, but we're going back to UBS Arena. Like, this is the first home playoff game in that new building, and it is going to be loud. It's going to be intimidating. There's going to be people tailgating at like 8 a.m. and like, that's kind of, I know that you guys tailgate. I've been to Canes games. Like, I'm not trying to poo-poo your fan base, but your tailgates are nothing compared to Islander tailgates. Like, it's just, they're not the same. Yeah. And people are going to be in rare form going to those games. And I'm super excited to just hear how loud it is in that building.
There's going to be some more pressure too, because I mean, last year we couldn't win a playoff game on the road. I mean, it was bizarre. We were awesome at home and just different team on the road. So, you know, there's going to be some pressure from that. And then, I mean, of course, with all the injuries we've got too. So I'm interested to see what, you know, how they look, you know.
I think it's going to get a little physical. Like, we started to see it a lot.
Oh yeah.
In game two. And I think it's going to be like, with people, like how loud the building's going to be, and the blue and orange army that's like doing chants literally the entire game. Have you watched like home Islander games?
I've seen a couple.
Yeah. So like, I love those dudes, but they're obnoxious. So like, they're going to be just riding the Canes the entire game. And I think we might definitely, like, I'm not a gambler, you know, use promo code THPN, but if
that's the best segue, dude.
But if I was a gambler, I would put money on tomorrow's game. Like, okay. I feel that good. And then Sunday, the only thing that makes me question Sunday is that the Islanders are so bad in afternoon games, like, so bad.
Right, that's the earlier one.
Yeah, it's Sunday, 1 o'clock. Like, that's the only thing that makes me a little nervous, is that it's a 1 o'clock game. But we'll see. Like, I'm sure Islander fans will be then tailgating at like 5 a.m. for that one.
Well, and speaking of former Islanders, John Tavares has a hat trick.
All right. Oh, man. We need to talk about that.
I'm so pissed.
And the Rangers are up 4-1 on the Devils.
Oh.
I think the Canes, I bet this is when we'll probably see Freddie back in goal. Even though Ron
thinks so.
great. He wasn't that great last year on the road, and I know they're going to sort of split some time there, try to keep him healthy. After playing an overtime game last night, I think Friday is a good chance for us to see Freddie in goal. So I don't know what that'll mean, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. I like talking to some other level-headed hockey fans. Sometimes some rivalries and when teams are playing each other can get a little out of hand. But, you know, it's been a close series so far. A few, you know, bounces here or there, we would have different outcomes for some of these games.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's really what makes playoff hockey so much better than any other professional sports playoffs. I think the NHL hockey playoffs are by far the best.
Yeah. It's just like the energy level. I mean, it's hard to describe it, but it's just different. The energy is just, it's so crazy on playoff hockey. And I mean, everybody is in these games, everybody's just scrapping for every loose puck. Guys are just knocking guys over just to gather a loose puck and clear it. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I love it. And hopefully Justin's Bolts take care of the Leafs next game, because
so we can laugh at Leafs fans.
Yeah. How great would it be if the Leafs exit first round again? Like, I think everyone Toronto around the world, yeah, who cares about Toronto, but like everyone else around the world would just be rejoicing, because everyone hates Toronto.
Yeah.
They hate Toronto.
If the Bruins could get beat, I mean, I would get on Twitter.
Oh man. I don't know. I have a lot of Miami fan friends who would be talking too much crap if the Panthers beat the Bruins.
But it would just really go to show what we were talking about in the last episode. Like,
yeah,
the President's Trophy curse is like a real thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It is. Happens
to the best of us.
It does. It would be bonkers, I'm not going to lie. But I think the Panthers' record is worse than what that team really is. Like, they were pretty bad for the first, like, half of the season. And then they were kind of, like, inconsistent even the second half of the season. So, like, they're not the second wild card team in my eyes. Like, they're better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a good team on paper.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if it's a coaching thing. I don't know if it's a leadership issue, if they need to redefine leadership. Because, I mean, Huberto was a big loss for them. But who knows? And hopefully, maybe Barkov will step up a little bit. But there's got to be some more solid leadership or better coaching out of that team. Because on paper, they're supposed to be where they're at right now, like a top-tier team in the playoffs. But when you watch them, you're just kind of just like, they're kind of like that one beer league team that got a shot and somehow is in the playoffs right now.
Well, yeah.
True. They're like the replacements, like Keanu Reeves and the replacements. Just like, I guess here you guys go. I guess you guys could be a professional sports team.
But the NHL playoffs, man, it's a different season. Like,
it is.
All it takes is to get in. We've seen 8 seeds go on and win the Stanley Cup. So
Carolina Hurricanes they lost 9 of their playoff games when they won the Stanley Cup, and they still won the Stanley Cup. So you never know. It's just these weird. Boston in 2011 was another one. I didn't think Boston was going to beat Vancouver, and then Vancouver was in flames.
I mean, I look at the West right now, and I could not tell you who I think is going to win the West. Every time I think, oh, it might be this team or that team, and then they lose. You know, I was looking game one. I'm like, okay, you know, maybe the Oilers get it going. Maybe Vegas looked really good, you know, when they played us recently, and they both lost game one. It's like, oh, I mean, okay, interesting. Okay.
No offense to the West.
One, but like, I don't know who you would say is really the favorite in the West right now. I mean, any of those teams could go on a run.
No offense or all offense to the West, but they're not winning the cup this year. It's going to go to the Atlantic or the Metropolitan.
No, the East is completely stacked. Yeah. Right before the trade deadline, I saw this guy. He left a comment on one of the posts when, like, the Devils are trading for Timo Meier. You know, everybody's – the Leafs traded for I don't know how many players. And they said the Eastern Conference is a bigger arms race than the Cold War. I was like, that's pretty good.
They're not wrong.
Everybody loaded up except the Canes. We just got Gostis Bear and Pulajarvi. And it seemed okay. It seemed good. And then Svechnikov got hurt and we were sort of screwed. But, yeah, that was a wild trade deadline.
Speaking of the West, Kev, do you remember in the Den, also the venue, we played a show, it was like last fall or something at the Den, and there was just randomly two guys there that were hanging out listening to the bands. And I started talking to them, like, where are you from? And like, oh, we're from Seattle. I was like, oh, okay. And they happened to be big Kraken fans because they've been going. And so we started chit-chatting with them for a while and just kind of like connected on – again, they were like loving the music at the Den, and then
they even find the Den. Like,
no idea.
I asked them the same thing. Not a place that you can just stumble upon.
They Googled it.
I think his dad lived in Greensboro or something, and he just went on Facebook and looked for like shows, Googled shows. I don't know, and it popped up somehow, and there he was. And I'm like, what are you doing here, dude? So that was awesome, just to have him hear him like talk about going to Kraken games and.
Yeah,
and they're cool stadium and stuff.
Back in game too, back in Uber.
Yeah, so it was really random, but it was really cool.
I still can't wrap my head around that because, like, I knew where I was going. Like, I knew I was supposed to go to the Den, and I knew that it was kind of this like DIY spot. So I knew, like, when I was driving up that long gravel road, like, I was going where I needed to go. But if it was just like, hey, I hear that there's a show at this place called the Den. Let me put it in my GPS. Once I got to that like cul-de-sac / dead end, I would have been like, yeah, this is wrong. I'm gonna turn around.
To go away now.
Yeah, this is. I'm gonna get murdered here. Like, this is definitely not a show. I just got baited.
Speaking of the Kraken, they're 1-0 against the Avalanche right now. They're actually 1-0, and they're the game just
there
started.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of up past my bedtime right now, so I haven't had a chance to watch any of the Kraken games, but that's something on my list to do because I want to see what the atmosphere is going to be like in Seattle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is their first time and whatnot. And, you know, we saw what it did for Vegas to go on a deep run early on. Like, now they have a core fan base. Like, that team is solidified, and it seems like year one of the Kraken didn't catch on as quickly, at least as an outsider looking in, as Vegas did. So if they can manage to go on a kind of a deep playoff run, then Seattle's going to be in a good spot.
We'll see how it goes on Saturday, because I think that's their first playoff home game.
All right, that's going to be the one I'm going to watch.
Yeah. It's Saturday at 10 p.m., so you don't have to go to work the next day.
It's still so hard to stay up.
Jeez. We need to get a Kraken fan on the podcast too.
Yeah, we have one in the line.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
I was gonna say, I've got a friend that he lives in Seattle, and his wife is good friends with my wife. We went to their wedding here, and they moved back to Seattle, and they go to the games. I think they have season tickets, so awesome. I see their little stories and stuff, and they have a good time with it.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm curious, you know, if the NHL is going to try to continue to expand, kind of like what you see happening with MLS. It seems like MLS is just like, you know what, let's just keep adding as many teams as possible to grow the sport that way.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily a bad model to do that. I think maybe adding more teams, and maybe they don't play each other as much, especially like I don't feel like the Islanders need to play Vancouver more than once a year. Like it just doesn't make sense. And like, I would imagine that teams lose money when they play West Coast teams with, you know, viewership going down, because I'm sure I'm not the only old man that doesn't want to stay up at 10 o'clock on a work night to watch a hockey game.
Right. Yeah.
I tried doing that in the Valley Sports app this year a few times when the Canes were out there, you know, playing Vancouver or LA Kings or somebody. And yeah, same thing. I'm like, God, this is tough, man. These 10 o'clock starts. Yeah, that's rough.
And even with overtime, it's like more than likely going to go on past midnight.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
And it's like you're going to be up all night watching this game. I'd rather just watch highlights at that point.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I could see them maybe not adding an NHL team, but like a more development teams like the AHL. We've got the Charlotte Checkers. Mm-hmm. But they could bring back a team to Greensboro. There's like a minor league in Winston. I haven't been to
yet. They have birds out there.
Yeah, but I'd like to give us some options. Yeah,
I totally support that. And I think maybe like giving the Atlanta Gladiators a shot. Like kind of like what they're doing with the Wrexham, like that show with Ryan Reynolds, like how teams can like go up and get re-relegated or whatever it's called.
Promoted
like,
or relegated.
Promoted or whatever. Like, why not give Atlanta Gladiators a shot? Like, you know, whoever wins the ECHL then can go up to the AHL. And then like, I don't want to make
that extreme where they would can go. Revolutionize American sports.
Yeah, it'd be so sick.
Like, can you imagine if the Chicago Blackhawks went to like the AHL or the AHL equivalent of the Midwest?
And then the Chicago Wolves went up.
And the Chicago Wolves went up. Yo, like, can you imagine that? Like that would dramatically, like, if you had an original team get relegated to the highest minor league team, that would shake up the industry so much. We would have you would even have like these like tournaments where you would have the best of ECHL, the best of OHL, the best of NHL, the best of AHL, and they all play each other to see like what team is. I would love that, dude. I wish more sports were like soccer. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Definitely watching.
Yep. Love that. So I guess before we let you guys go, unfortunately this episode will come out after your show at the Den, but what else does 30 is Dead have cooking for the rest of 2023 other than obviously Bar Down Breakfest?
Let's see. We've got two more singles coming out from what we recorded last summer. We're going back into the studio in July to record 5 or 6 more.
Nice.
What's our next shows, Brian? We've got what, 3 or 4 already?
Yeah, we've got another Greensboro back at the old NYP.
That's right,
coming up.
And that's New York Pizza, right? Like, is it a legit pizza joint?
It actually is. Yeah,
the Donato's in Columbus.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, so a few shows throughout the year. Cast the recording, just doing our thing. So we're super stoked to come down and play Bar Down Breakdown.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome. Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Who are you guys recording with? A local producer here in North Carolina?
Yeah. So his name's Josh Emick. He did the stuff we recorded last summer. We've known him for years. He's a producer and sound engineer. And then the studio we're doing at, it's Fallen Tree Studios in Mount Airy. Same place we did last year. A really cool spot because it's you can do like a room recording with everybody in the same room, and we found that works good for our energy. I mean, we still record to a metronome and everything, to have drums and guitars and bass in, you know, in there kind of all going at once was big for our energy. So we're gonna do it there again. So that's gonna be really cool. But yeah, Josh, we've known him forever, and he's a great dude.
Cool. Excited to see what you guys cook up and make there. And I'm sure just like, you know, being in your mid to late 30s, having a weekend away with the boys to make music is, you know,
always
pretty
fun.
Special, right? Always fun.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Well, cool. Super excited to see how the Canes Islanders series plays out. And hopefully it goes a little bit longer than just, you know, four or five games. Hopefully they really just grind it out and get a little rough with each other and just, you know, some good playoff hockey. So cheers to that. And then also very excited to catch your set at Bar Down Break Fest. You know, you can head over to 30 is Dead Spotify, listen to their tunes, and then go buy your tickets right there on Spotify.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, thank you guys. This is awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys. Absolutely. We'll keep in touch and have a great night.
All right.
Peace.
Take it easy.
See you.